16% of the homes in the U.S. had a bathtub. There were only 8,000 cars in the entire country and only 144 miles of paved roads. Join us again next month when our guest will be the State Director of the Illinois Department on Aging. We'll be talking about prescription costs, the new bill on home-based care, and a lot of senior focus.
This is your news and information station, AM 1410, WRMN, Elgin.
USA Radio Network News, John Scott reporting. Social Security and gasoline prices, things that affect us all. President Bush has a very busy week ahead, and those items are on his agenda. Terry Moore has this report from the White House.
Today, the president will be back on the road promoting Social Security reform in an appearance in South Carolina. Tomorrow, he'll help dedicate the Abraham Lincoln Museum in Springfield, Illinois. Back in Washington Wednesday, and feeling the heat over rising gas prices, the president will give what's being billed as a major speech on energy. And he will also sign legislation Thursday reforming the nation's bankruptcy laws. Friday finds the president in Tennessee taking part in some Earth Day activities. I'm Terry Moore at the White House.
The conclave to select a new pope will get underway at the Vatican today. The 115 cardinals who will select Pope John Paul II's successor will swear an oath of secrecy and lock themselves in the Sistine Chapel. They are expected to vote once today. After that, they will be voting four times a day. Registered sex offender David Onsott appeared in court earlier today in capital-based charges regarding the death of 13-year-old Sarah Lundy of Ruskin, Florida. Onsott did not speak this morning. The judge reviewed charges of first-degree murder against Onsott, and bond was denied. The judge also told Onsott he could face life in prison or the death penalty, depending on what the state attorney's office decides. On Wall Street, the Dow is down 16 points, the NASDAQ up 6. This is USA Radio Network News.
We all have tricks to get going on Monday morning. I've heard hide your alarm clock or go to bed 3 hours earlier on Sunday. Trying it simple. Kids and a dog. Nothing says rise and shine like a wet nose in the ear and a 3-year-old pulling on your eyelid asking,
Mommy, sleeping?
My other trick, Carnation Instant Breakfast.
With twice the protein of an egg and 21 vitamins and minerals, Carnation Instant Breakfast has the complete nutrition you need to get going.
Kids and a dog are also the cure for the common nap.
Mommy, sleeping?
Nestle Carnation Instant Breakfast. Serious morning fuel.
Welcome to Credit Sweepstakes. First question, what's the fast and easy way to get your credit score and credit report? Contestant number one.
Write a letter requesting all of your information.
Oh, sorry. Contestant number two.
Just ask for friendly loan officer.
Oh, contestant number three.
I just log on to freecreditreport.com.
Correct. You are the winner. And you at home can be a winner, too. Get your credit score and credit report at freecreditreport.com. That's freecreditreport.com. See our website for complete offer details.
Oklahoma City is marking the 10th anniversary of the Alfred P. Murrah federal building bombing with a National Week of Hope. The event began Sunday with a Day of Faith that included a candlelight ceremony to remember the 168 people who were killed. A cruise ship returning to New York City today after a huge wave forced it to make a detour to South Carolina for repairs, where passengers were slightly injured. Today is Tax Freedom Day. Tax Foundation President Scott Hodge says this is the day American citizens begin earning money for themselves.
This year, Americans had to work 107 days into the year until yesterday, April 17th, to pay off all their tax bills, and now they can begin to work to pay their family's bills.
Taxes remain the biggest share of a household's budget.
The good news is, however, we're working 2 weeks less this year than we did in 2000 during the last year of the Clinton administration. And that year, we had to work until May 3rd to pay off all of our taxes.
Tax Foundation President Scott Hodge. This is USA Radio Network News.
Hello, William Shatner at the beach with a young couple. So, how did you choose this vacation?
Well, we looked all over for different deals.
Now you can do that on Priceline. Actually, shop and compare before you buy.
But I thought that...
No, now you can pick out your exact hotel and airfare, book cruises and vacation packages, and choose a much nicer rental car than that.
That's not a rental.
That's ours, dude.
Oh.
Yeah.
The new all-in-one Priceline. Shop, compare, sell.
You get upset and overreact, and something, the experience, gets inside your head, and you get upset with that and make yourself worse. You can break this vicious cycle log on to FHU.com and read Post-Traumatic Stress Syndrome, We All Have It. Listen to my radio program, Advice Line, live streaming on FHU.com 10 to midnight Pacific Time and on over 100 stations. For my book, How Your Mind Can Keep You Well, call 866-RADIO-ROY. I'm Roy Masters.
Imagine a year-round luxury resort set 1,000 feet above one of the most beautiful valleys in the world. A resort with spectacular views from the Teton Mountain Range. A place surrounded by two remarkable parks, countless recreational opportunities, and breathtaking wildlife. Well, that resort is Spring Creek Ranch. Whether you're staying in the hotel or one of the spacious condominiums, the peace and seclusion make it the perfect getaway from the daily grind. There's something for everyone every month of the year. You are sure to enjoy hiking, horseback riding, snowmobiling, skiing, and so much more. Take advantage of the perfect setting for your next meeting. Their full-service conference center overlooks the amazing Jackson Hole. Four-star cuisine and excellent wine list make an airy restaurant an incredible dining experience. To enjoy a room with a view, call Spring Creek Ranch at 800-443-6139. That's 800-443-6139. Or go online at springcreekranch.com.
Vaccaro's Deli and Sandwich Shop. Now that's Italian. Vaccaro's features signature sandwiches, wraps, hot panini sandwiches, traditional subs, salads, and more. Try one of Vaccaro's delicious cafe sandwiches, like the warm corned beef and melted Swiss. You'll be coming back for more. And you can create your own meal. Combine any two soups, salad, or half a sandwich. Made with the freshest ingredients and finest sides, it's Vaccaro's Deli and Sandwich Shop on Route 47 by Walgreens and Huntley. Call 847-515-8561.
Hi, this is Kenneth John of Freedom Ring. Join me every Monday morning from 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock for a spirited discussion of the issues of the day. Are you sick of the same tired positions the liberals and conservatives make? Check out a fresh perspective on Freedom Ring, Monday morning from 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock. Right here on AM 1410 WRMN. Give me liberty or give me death. You get what you pay for, efficient, high-quality service from Perfect Painting and Decorating. In business under the same name since 1975, Perfect Painting and Decorating provides superior service for painting, full finishing, wallpapering, plastering, and drywall taping. No interruptions, thorough preparation, professional tradesmen, top-of-the-line materials, meticulous cleanup. Get the job done right the first time. For a free estimate, call Perfect Painting and Decorating at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. You'll be glad you did.
I know I need to pay attention to my health, but I just can't seem to find the time. Between rushing to work and taking care of the kids, there's not much time left over for me. So I decided to start small by eating more fruits and vegetables and being more active. And then I got the family to make some changes too. We started by keeping a bowl of fresh fruit on the counter, and I limit the amount of sweet snacks I keep in the house. I've also found some creative ways to add more vegetables to our meals. We're taking more walks, and on the weekends, we head down to the pool at the rec center. It doesn't happen every day, but it does happen. You don't have to change your entire life to be healthier. Just make some simple changes and include your family. You'll see how easy and fun it can be.
You can make a difference. Eat smart, play hard, and when you do, your kids will too. A challenge from USDA.
At night, when you're almost asleep, small sounds can be very disturbing. Little wonder, then, what really big sounds can do to your ears the rest of the time. Millions of Americans live with hazardous noise levels every day. And we don't just mean rock stars. A kitchen blender hits 85 decibels. The noise level audiologists know can cause permanent hearing loss. No need to wear earplugs when you make a banana smoothie. But if you're in the 85 decibel range for long periods, day after day, your hearing is at risk. People who work in nightclubs, who use power tools, who listen to music with headphones, are especially vulnerable. For more on the 85 decibel danger zone and ways to protect your hearing health, visit ASHA.org. That's ASHA.org. A public service message from the American Speech Language Hearing Association, reminding you to keep an eye on your ears.
If you have outdoor living space, you have wild neighbors. It may be a city balcony with a birdhouse, or a suburban backyard with birds and bunnies, or an expanse of land with hundreds of acres providing home to many animals. Whatever the size, wherever the place, any property can become a sanctuary for wildlife. The Humane Society of the United States can help you turn your property into a haven for birds, butterflies, and a variety of animals through our Urban Wildlife Sanctuary program. And if you have land that's already a safe place for wildlife, our Wildlife Land Trust can help you protect your land and the animals on it from hunting, trapping, and development into the future. So whether you'd like to create a backyard wildlife oasis or make your land a permanent wildlife sanctuary, we can help. For more information, visit us on the web at landforwildlife.org.
The following paid program is sponsored by Prairie Fire Communications. Opinions expressed do not necessarily represent those of staff and management of WRMN Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Freedom Rings. I am your host, Kenneth John. With me is my excellent producer, Alan. How you doing?
Good morning, Ken. How are you today?
Oh, I'm doing all right, I guess. It's a beautiful day out there, at least.
It sure is.
Beautiful spring day.
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Won't you be mine? Libertarian.
That's so friendly, a friendly way to start off today.
I'm so happy today to be with all of you on this beautiful April spring morning.
I detect the sincerity.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
I have to go golfing today.
Yeah, well, there you go. That'd be par for the course.
Oh, God. All right. Enough is enough. Before I forget, because my old feeble mind has a tendency to forget these things, I have a court date coming up on 4/20. What is that? Let's see. The 15th was Friday.
That's Wednesday.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Okay. This Wednesday morning, folks, 8:30 a.m., McHenry County Government Center there in Woodstock off of Route 47, room A, 180. That's 8:30. My motions to dismiss my seatbelt case will be heard that day. So that's a definite, folks. If you'd like to come out and show some support, I sure would appreciate it. Because I'm going to need it. Because I got a feeling the cards are stacked way against me. And I will refuse to pay for any fine, even though this is costing me thousands of dollars. I will not pay the $25 fine for not having a seatbelt, because I believe it is my life, my decision on whether I wear one or not. Not the government, not the state. And it seems to me, so fundamental a case as this, you can't decide whether or not you wear a seatbelt in your own car. Folks, you've got no decisions on your own life. You've got no freedom at all. The government can dictate anything to you. Absolutely anything, anything. If they can dictate whether or not you wear a seatbelt in your vehicle. It's totally outrageous to me. Some people think it's a trivial thing. It's not. This is as important as it gets, folks. And I'm drawing the line in the sand here. And they can do whatever they want to me. I will not voluntarily pay any fine for any seatbelt ticket anywhere, anytime, any place. Seems to me our founding fathers drew lines in the sand. They looked at their well, I don't know if they have mirrors back then.
Yeah.
All right. Sure, they looked in the mirrors, the more crude mirrors they probably were back then, and had to decide at what point in time they would pledge their lives, fortunes, and sacred honor for liberty. And if liberty means anything to you all, folks, you all have to do the same thing at some point in time in your life. Well, this has come for mine. And I've decided that the value of freedom to me is more important than prosperity, than security. That's just me. Everybody might be different. Seems to me, if you're not living your own life by your own choices, as long as you don't infringe on the equal rights of others to the same, then you're not living life. What you're engaging in is a living death. A robot. Determined by the machinations of the state. That's not life, folks. And it's certainly not a life that I will ever pursue. So I'm choosing freedom. And others, they can choose what they want. But they will not take my freedom of conscience away on this detail case. So if you'd like to support me, room A1, excuse me, room A180, 8:30 this Wednesday morning at the McHenry County Government Center in Woodstock. The same place I stood up to them a few years ago when I was petitioning for the Libertarian Party to get on the ballot. And they tried to arrest me, saying I didn't have the right. I didn't have any First Amendment rights at the Kane County Judicial Center. And I stood up to them, they backed off. And, well, we'll see what happens this time. I have two other stupid regulations. This is an ongoing thing, folks. It's getting worse and worse. I kind of made fun of, satirized the point that when some high school kid was arrested for drawing caricature figures with you know, pictures of guns pointed at other individuals, when they were arrested, I suggested that, you know, artists such as, you know, Stephen King, you know, why aren't they in jail right now for printing fiction of all sorts of terrorist-style activity? And I joked about it, and here is a report that back on April 7th, Secret Service agents arrived at an art show in Chicago, folks, and launched an investigation into one of the art pieces hanging there, a set of mock postage stamps by local artist Al Brantner. The image on the stamps is a revolver pointing at the head of President Bush with the caption, Patriot Act. This is just a piece of art, folks. And because that piece of art was that provocative, it got a response from the Secret Service. Does this not have a stifling effect on your First Amendment rights, folks? It's getting really scary. It's getting more and more like totalitarian Russia or Nazi Germany all the time. When are you going to look in the mirror and decide is enough is enough? Is freedom important to you or not? Or is security and which is illusory, and some short-term prosperity, but again, by the way, as long as you allow government to do these things, it won't take much more time before they confiscate your prosperity, your houses, your wealth, your property. Also, as they're doing right now in Lake Zurich, compensating, trying to take property for private use through government force when people don't want to sell. I suggest that's theft. It's time to stand up against the tyrants, folks. It's time, if you consider liberty your foremost value. All right, this is Freedom Rings. I'm Kenneth John. The phone number here is 847-931-1410. We have a guest today. It's Steve Stanek. He's from the Heartland Institute. He's the budget and tax news editor. And we'll be talking to him after a couple of messages. Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats and regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government?
Well then, America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, we will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Baroni's Pizza, 3 Lakewood Plaza, one block west of Route 25 off of Bessinger Drive in Carpentersville on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 o'clock p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
You get what you pay for. Efficient, high-quality service from Perfect Painting and Decorating. In business under the same name since 1975, Perfect Painting and Decorating supplies superior service for both interior and exterior painting, decorative finishing, wallpapering, plastering, drywall and taping, and wood refinishing. For your decorating needs, Perfect Painting and Decorating can custom tint right on the job site. Imagine no interruption, thorough preparation, professional tradesmen, top-of-the-line materials, meticulous cleanup. Get the job done right the first time. It may cost a bit more for quality, but it's worth it. For a free estimate, call Perfect Painting and Decorating at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. You will be glad you did.
Hello, friends. This is Kenneth John, and Freedom Rings needs your help. I would like to get back to a two-hour show, but that costs money. You can help by contributing to the Heartland Institute, Illinois' own libertarian think tank, with a tax-deductible contribution. The Heartland Institute is an independent, nonprofit research organization in operation for 17 years. Joseph Bass, Heartland's president, is a frequent guest on this program. 90% of what you contribute to Heartland comes back to Freedom Ring to pay for this ad. By contributing $25 or more, you will receive monthly publications including School Reform News, Environment and Climate News, and The Heartlander, the Heartland Institute's monthly newsletter. So please call 312-377-4000 to contribute and be sure to mention Freedom Ring. That's 312-377-4000. Or you can contribute by credit card on the internet by going to Heartland's website at heartland.org. Again, remember to mention Freedom Ring, and thank you for your support.
Okay, we are back with Freedom Ring, and I'd like to introduce to the difficult at the same time to prioritize.
Yeah, it's difficult to prioritize. It's difficult to keep up with changes. I'm more interested in policy than politics, but the politics gets so wrapped up in things that it's hard to avoid it. And the way things go in Congress and in legislatures across the country, things change sometimes by the hour on the political front.
Right. I'm interested in one area of public policy in Illinois, and actually is going on throughout the country,
mm-hmm.
and that's the use of the tax increment financing laws.
Oh, yeah.
Which originally, I remember back in the 80s, the Kemp Republicans were pushing, and I agreed with them, pushing private enterprise zones.
Yes, I remember.
And it sounded like a wonderful idea,
mm-hmm.
because why not, give tax breaks to really depressed areas that aren't generating tax revenue anyway, aren't generating any economic activity,
mm-hmm.
and allow them just to operate, at the time, it was without regulation and
mm-hmm.
without taxes. Great idea, and unfortunately, it seems what happens so many times is that those who are in charge of the power structure in this country convert great ideas into a matter of steps for their own.
Yeah, the TIFs is something that have bothered me for years. I live in McHenry, and in the early 90s fought against TIF. We did manage to kill it, and it was just a gross abuse of the TIF law, and the TIF law itself is an atrocious law, especially here in Illinois anyway it is. I think so.
Right now, of course, it's happening throughout the state, but some of us are focused on what's happening in Lake Zurich right
mm-hmm.
now.
Mm-hmm.
Which
with the downtown area there.
Pardon?
down along the lake. And
down along the lake, there's some property owners that own right along the lake, right across the road from the lake.
Yeah.
And City of Lake Zurich has condemned these properties through the use of eminent domain by law of the tax increment financing law.
Yeah.
And what they want to do is build five-story condominiums.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing about this is kind of coupled with another, I think, bad legislation in the state, and that is home rule, where if you have a population of 25,000 or more, you automatically get home rule powers.
Yeah, and there are even some smaller communities that have voted in home rule.
Right, and what's happened in Lake Zurich is they voted that down twice. But they have a population of about 20,000. So if they get these five-story condominiums, they're well on their way of getting that 25,000 mark.
Yeah.
So this is twofold. It's a twofold tyranny as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, the TIF has bothered me a long time because it was originally intended to do what you were describing earlier. It was meant to be used only in areas that were severely blighted, areas where you had lots of abandoned buildings that were causing a lot of trouble, that were dragging down neighborhoods. Well, since Illinois enacted its TIF law in the 1980s, we've had TIF districts in some of the wealthiest communities in Illinois. I believe Lake Forest, for instance, has had two TIF districts. I defy anyone to show me the blight in Lake Forest.
Or Arlington Heights, or I believe Wilmette.
They're all over the place.
I think what the legislature has done, though, if I'm correct, is though they added, besides blighted areas, they added conservation areas. And so they're trying to define some of these areas as conservation areas. Now, how they can put five-story condominiums along a private lake that's really basically been lined with just one, you know, single-family homes.
The idea behind TIF districts was to get development in, and it's called TIF. It stands for Tax Increment Financing.
Right.
And the idea is that the amount of property taxes collected from whatever the boundaries of the TIF district are would stay frozen for typically it's 23 years. And then as development came in and that property became more valuable, it would be generating more tax revenue, but that additional tax revenue would not go to the schools, library district, fire district, and all the other entities. It would go back into paying for the infrastructure and the development, the roads,
right,
the sewers, the sidewalks, all that sort of stuff. Well, what's happened is that you have wealthy communities who are using TIF districts and are generating more development, which keeps the low-income, blighted, neglected areas at a disadvantage. The idea was to give these poor communities a leg up. Well, with TIF being used by Lake Zurich and Lake Forest and Arlington Heights and all these other communities across Illinois that have affluent residents that don't have anything that could remotely be considered the kind of blight that people envisioned when this came about, you have those poor communities still at a disadvantage. They still can't get the leg up that they were meant to have. Now, as far as the eminent domain, you've hit on something that has bothered me for a while, and I think is one of the most, right now, maybe the most important Supreme Court decision.
Well, that's what I was leading to.
Yeah. This may end up being one of the most important Supreme Court decisions for homeowners and business people of the last 50 years. At least that's what a lot of people say. I'm talking about a case involving a neighborhood called Fort Trumbull. It's in New London, Connecticut.
Right.
We've written about it a couple of times in Budget and Tax News. In 2004, the Connecticut Supreme Court, by 4-3 ruling, said that the city of New London could use eminent domain to condemn all the homes and small businesses in this 90-acre Fort Trumbull neighborhood and then give that to a private developer to put up a big office complex, fancy condos, all kinds of stuff. Their reasoning is that this big office park and condos and other amenities will generate far more tax revenue than the small homes and businesses that are there now. And the Supreme Court ruled that even though those homes and businesses are not blighted, they're not neglected, they're well-maintained, there's nothing wrong with them, the community can just force those people out and turn it over to a private developer, because the more revenue the community gets, the greater the public benefit. And they say this is a public, this therefore makes it a public use.
Yeah, this is, and my understanding is that Justice O'Connor asked the attorney for the city of New London point blank, does this mean that as long as you can get more tax revenue from condemning a property,
Well, here's the quote. I have it.
Let's get it straight out
of Budget and Tax News, the April issue, the current issue. Justice Sandra Day O'Connor asked New London attorney Wesley Horton, quote, for example, a Motel 6. The city thinks it should have a Ritz-Carlton to have higher taxes. Is that okay? Yes, Justice O'Connor, that's okay, Horton answered. Justice Antonin Scalia asked, quote, you can take from A and give it to B if B pays more in taxes? Horton answered, if it's a significant amount. Now, what they're arguing, what the New London, Connecticut attorney is arguing, is that the Fifth Amendment to the Constitution, which protects private property, says property may not be taken for public use without just compensation. Public use has, for most of this country's history, has been understood to be something by and for the public, like public roads, public utilities, that sort of thing. What's happened in recent years is that communities like New London have said that public use under the Fifth Amendment includes things like private development, if that private development is going to generate a bunch of tax money. And their argument is, well, if it's tax money coming to us, we're using it for the public. Therefore, we can take private homes and businesses, even though they're well-maintained, even though the people don't want them to sell, and we can give it to an extremely wealthy developer who will build something much larger and generate a whole bunch of tax revenue. And this, I mean, it literally frightens me if the Supreme Court sides with New London, because that will mean property rights in the United States will depend on how much money you have.
So far as I'm concerned, that means private property rights will be completely gone.
Well, no, they won't be gone. They will be there for people who are immensely wealthy and have huge projects. Say that you live in a $150,000 house, and all the houses on your street are somewhere in the $150,000 range. Well, a private developer could come in and go to the city and say, you know, I want to buy all the houses on that street. I want all those houses on that street. I want to knock them down, and instead of $150,000 houses, I want to put up $600,000 houses.
Sure.
Oh, and they'll say, well, look at that. Your property tax revenue will immediately quadruple. People who can live in $6,000 houses have more disposable income, so they'll be buying more things, and your sales tax revenue will go up. And they'll spout all these advantages to the city as far as tax revenue goes. And the city could say, well, yeah, that's fine by us. And they could force you and everyone on your street out of there and turn that property over to a private developer. And it just amazes me. And
to me, that's not private property. The ones that would have that power, as far as I'm concerned, that's private property power, not right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm reminded of a quote from Jesus Christ. Whatsoever you do to the least of my brothers, that you do unto me.
Yeah.
And if you're doing it to the poor, as you say, you're doing it to everybody.
Well, I think the little exchange here that I just read you is, it couldn't be any clearer. Motel 6.
This is the
and somebody wants to come in with the Ritz-Carlton. Oh.
They usually use a lot more nebulous language to get around these things. And as you say, this is so clear.
Yeah,
this is
a real
line of demarcation.
Justice Antonin Scalia. You can take from A and give it to B if B pays more in taxes. And the New London, Connecticut attorney answered, quote, if it's a significant amount.
as much as the Constitution, I think, is just a worthless piece of paper anymore,
it
seems to me, I don't think we're that far gone that the Supreme Court would rule in the city of New London's favor. But when I'm reading about this case, I keep on hearing that supposedly Justice Sandra Day O'Connor, who's usually was one of the two swing votes on the court, made it clear to people observing that she was not very open to the argument.
Yeah, I talked to one of the attorneys for the homeowners who were trying to protect their property, and was told not so much her, but Ginsburg and Souter seemed very sympathetic to the New London, Connecticut argument.
Yeah, I'm not surprised of them. Mm-hmm. I would be very surprised if Kennedy and O'Connor ruled.
It's hard to tell. I mean, Justice Kennedy wrote the opinion on the death penalty recently involving young people, and in his opinion cited practices in other countries. Which is another thing that just scares me.
what does that have to do with that?
We're not France, China, or Chile. I don't care what goes on in those countries, and I don't know why our Supreme Court cares, but apparently at least some of the members of the court do.
That's true.
And,
that is pretty amazing.
If you're going to start basing Supreme Court decisions on what most of the rest of the world does, I think they better bear in mind that most of the world does not protect freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, freedom of association the way we do. Most of the world forces people to testify against themselves. We don't.
It depends, actually.
Yeah.
You're talking about tax cases.
Yeah.
Tax court, I think, again, this is a different story. But
yeah. Well, the IRS is a law unto itself.
All right. We are talking with Steve Stanek from the Heartland Institute, the managing editor of Budget and Tax News. The phone number here is 847-931-1410. If you have any questions, comments, observations, analyses, please give us a call. Anything about taxes or budgets is fine. Give us a call, 847-931-1410. We will be back after a few messages.
Reduce children to their lowest common denominator.
57% of us are functionally illiterate.
For us, excellence is a thing of the past.
We killed the teachers and students at Columbine.
We are all trained to follow orders good.
We have learned to be tolerant of all people, except whites, Christians, and males.
27% of us are put on drugs.
The rest of us take the illegal ones.
Two-thirds of us believe that from each according to his ability to each according to his need is part of the preamble to the U.S. Constitution.
7 out of 10 of us don't know either of the senators in our state.
We just placed 19th out of 21 countries on math scores, ahead of the Ivory Coast and Sri Lanka.
We elected Bill Clinton as president
and re-elected him. And 9 out of 10 of us are products of the public school.
This message paid for by the Illinois Indoctrinators Association.
Ever think that you should be getting more out of your computer? Maybe you need a go-to tech guy. A go-to tech guy is somebody who knows computers inside and out and can help you with yours. John Spazieri is a real go-to tech guy. John Spazieri is a 20-year tech veteran who can help you get more out of your computer. Need software installed and configured? Call John. Want to learn word processing or Excel spreadsheets? Call John. John Spazieri comes to your home, works with you one-on-one on your machine, and shows you step-by-step how to do things you've always wanted to do with your computer. Want to upgrade your computer? Call John. Need to build a wireless network? Call John. Call John Spazieri at area code 630-858-6933. That's 630-858-6933. John Spazieri. Make him your go-to tech guy. I consider trial by jury as the only anchor yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its constitution. So said Thomas Jefferson. What does this mean? Nothing less than that a juror has more power in a particular case than a judge, congressman, or president, and can judge the law. A juror has the right and power to nullify unjust law by voting not guilty, contrary to the jury instructions that many judges routinely give that jurors must apply the law as given by the judge. This is a very important check on the power of oppressive government. In the past, jury nullification has asserted its historical importance concerning fugitive slave laws of the 1850s, prohibition in the 1920s, and draft cases in the 1960s. Oppressive gun laws, tax laws, and drug laws are other instances where the people through a jury said no to government. For more information, call the Illinois Fully Informed Jury Association at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974.
And you may say tonight, I'm an illegal smile. It's all so very much, but it lasts me a long while. Won't you please tell the man I didn't kill anyone? So I'm just trying to have me some fun. Well done, I know fun.
All right, we are back with Freedom Rings. We were talking with Steve Sandick, Managing Editor of Budget and Tax News with the Heartland Institute. And let's take some phone calls.
Sure.
All right, so we've got John on the line. Hello, John.
Hi, Ken. Hi, Steve.
Hello, John.
Steve, I wanted to ask you, is the Heartland Budget and Tax newsletter primarily concerned with the federal budget, or does it include state budgets?
Yeah, we cover a range of things, federal, state, and local. Just a couple months ago, for instance, we did a big piece on Mayor Daley's budget in Chicago. So we take it right down to the community level if we think there's something interesting there. So yeah, we write about federal budget, Social Security, Medicare. We write about state budgeting and tax laws, alcohol and liquor taxes in states, all sorts of things.
Does anyone actually read the federal budget?
I don't think there are more than a handful of people who really do read it, because the budget is enormously thick, and often it's just thrown at people shortly before they vote on it. I'll bet you most members of Congress could not tell you in any great detail what is in the federal budget.
Yeah. It's like 3 or 4 1,000-page volumes, isn't it?
Sure. Yeah. That's why. You might have a congressman who will know the specifics of something that is near and dear to his heart and would probably know in general terms what is in the budget, but I think it's impossible for anybody to know with detail if he wants to have any kind of a life outside looking at a budget every day.
Sounds like Leviathan completely out of control to me.
Well,
you know, if a congressman can't even, they must have at least budget summaries, I would say.
Oh yeah, they get the budget summaries. That's why I say they could tell you in general terms what is happening with spending, but I think the budget is so huge that it's really impossible for any one person to have a good grasp of it.
So how does eminent domain figure into the budget thing?
Well, eminent domain is being used by communities to boost their tax revenues. The New London case is centered on that. The whole reason they are trying to take over this Fort Trumbull neighborhood is because it is made up of middle-class homes and small businesses, and it sits adjacent to a $270 million Pfizer pharmaceutical research and office facility. They want to expand and enhance that facility. And their whole argument is, if you allow us If you allow private developers to come in and seize this Fort Trumbull neighborhood and put in the big office park and the expensive condos and the luxury hotel, you will generate a whole lot more tax revenue, local tax revenue, than you do now with small homes and businesses. So they're using eminent domain as a tool to boost local tax receipts. And it's happening all across the country. You have communities that are seizing property that the property owners don't want to sell. This is not a case of a drug-infested neighborhood with a bunch of burned-out, empty buildings being used by gangs and prostitutes. This is a middle-class neighborhood of well-maintained homes and small businesses that is being obliterated to turn it over to a private developer who's going to reap millions of dollars of benefit, and as a byproduct of that, generate a whole lot more tax revenue. And it's a scary thought, to me anyway, that a private developer could get a state or a municipality to use their powers of eminent domain to condemn property and forcibly take it away from people and then turn it over to a private developer who says, well, instead of that small house, I'm going to have luxury condos, and instead of that little corner store, I'm going to put a Costco or a Walmart there. I'll make millions of dollars doing it, but you'll also get a whole bunch more revenue. If the Supreme Court sides with New London in this, nobody's property will be safe. If you're living in a million-dollar home, a developer could go to the city and say, you know, I want to knock down that million-dollar home and build a $5 million home.
Oh, yeah.
And could do it.
Right.
I was wondering, are you familiar with the Illinois Route 47 eminent domain thing?
No.
Oh.
Route 47. I know Route 47. I'm not familiar with the eminent domain. Yeah,
we're talking about we're putting a limited access highway through there. Is that right, John?
Yes. But the thing is it's not planned for another 10 years to even break ground.
Mm-hmm.
And they haven't done this eminent domain.
They have
they're
not?
They're threatening it, and it basically destroys any property values for any homes that are along there, because anyone who would want to buy one, if someone wanted to sell their home,
there's
this threat
mm-hmm.
of eminent domain in the near future.
Yeah. But that would be used for roads.
But supposedly.
Yeah, well, see, there's the difference. I think most judges probably would say, well, that is a legitimate use of eminent domain because a public road can be used by the general public. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. You don't have to own that chunk of property to use it. You could argue over whether the road should be built or whether it should be put in that place, that kind of thing. But I think most people would say, well, that at least is public use. With the New London thing and the other communities all across the country, no, it's not public use. They're taking private property to give it to a private developer who will put in a private development that can only be used by the people who either work in that office park or who own those luxury condos or who stay at that hotel or whatever they're putting up.
Steve, Johnny raises an interesting question, though, on the situation of eminent domain in general,
mm-hmm.
that as soon as a governmental entity throws out the notion, throws out a rumor or just a plan, a 10-year plan or whatever, that they may want to be taking certain property with the use of eminent domain,
mm-hmm.
the property values do lower accordingly. Now, when you get, is it just compensation? I wonder if you know how the courts have ruled on this.
Well,
is it just compensation what the property value was before the rumors were floated or the plan was floated or afterwards?
It's interesting you ask that. It's also in our April issue to accompany my story on the New London case. I asked Sam Staley to do a summary of a study of his on this very topic. Sam Staley is Director of Urban and Land Use Policy at Reason Foundation.
Okay.
And he, with John Blair, wrote Eminent Domain, Private Property, and Redevelopment, and Economic Development Analysis, where he gets into this. And let me find a summary here. In his summary, he talks about that. He says, although governments, can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Though governments are still responsible for paying just compensation when private property is seized, they often don't. Local officials often attempt to minimize payments. Many of these and other abuses were chronicled in a 2004 book by Stephen Greenhut, Abuse of Power. And then Staley goes on to cite some of the examples. According to Greenhut, municipalities or the state, you know, whoever is trying to condemn the property, will hire appraisers to lowball property valuations. They will use the threat of condemnation just to intimidate property owners to sell at below market rates.
Right.
The fear that you raise. They figure, well, I better sell now because 5 years from now the property is going to be worth even less. So they're trying to get out however they can. Some people don't understand the difference between assessed valuation and market value. Here in Illinois, a property, a home, for instance, is typically assessed at one-third its market value. And sometimes government bodies will offer people the assessed value of their house rather than the market value, and people who don't know any better sometimes take it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there are a lot of issues, and Staley, in his analysis in our current issue of Budget and Tax News, comes right on and says that investment often is discouraged when governments can seize homes and businesses.
Right. All right. Thanks for your call, John. We're talking to Steve Stanek of the Heartland Institute, Budget and Tax News Managing Editor. We will be back after a few messages.
This is Kenneth John, and Freedom Rings needs your help. I would like to get back to a two-hour show, but that costs money. You can help by contributing to the Heartland Institute, Illinois' own libertarian think tank, with a tax-deductible contribution. The Heartland Institute is an independent, nonprofit research organization in operation for 17 years. Joseph Bass, Heartland's president, is a frequent guest on this program. 90% of what you contribute to Heartland comes back to Freedom Ring to pay for this ad. By contributing $25 or more, you will receive monthly publications including School Reform News, Environment and Climate News, and The Heartlander, the Heartland Institute's monthly newsletter. So please call 312-377-4000 to contribute and be sure to mention Freedom Ring. That's 312-377-4000. Or you can contribute by credit card on the internet by going to Heartland's website at heartland.org. Again, remember to mention Freedom Ring, and thank you for your support.
I consider trial by jury as the only anchor yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its constitution. So said Thomas Jefferson. What does this mean? Nothing less than that a juror has more power in a particular case than a judge, congressman, or president, and can judge the law. A juror has the right and power to nullify unjust law by voting not guilty, contrary to the jury instructions that many judges routinely give that jurors must apply the law as given by the judge. This is a very important check on the power of oppressive government. In the past, jury nullification has asserted its historical importance concerning fugitive slave laws of the 1850s, prohibition in the 1920s, and draft cases in the 1960s. Oppressive gun laws, tax laws, and drug laws are other instances where the people through a jury said no to government. For more information, call the Illinois Fully Informed Jury Association at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats and regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government?
Well then, America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, we will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Baroni's Pizza, 3 Lakewood Plaza, one block west of Route 25 off of Bessinger Drive in Carpentersville on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 o'clock p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
Okay, we are back with Freedom Rings, talking with Steve Denick from the Heartland Institute on budget and tax matters. Let's go back to the phones and talk to Bob. Hello, Bob.
There we go.
Hello, Bob.
Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
You don't have to go to Connecticut to find this type of thing. In Elgin, we had a situation right along Grove Avenue there where a gentleman had a coin shop.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it was going to go to the Illinois State Supreme Court. They had them both ways. It was a TIF district,
mm-hmm.
and a developer came in and wanted all of the property along there. The city already owned most of it. They were ready to give it to them. But here's this little coin shop standing in the way.
Mm-hmm.
And the coin shop says, you know, you can't just give me what you say is the value of my property.
Yeah.
You're going to put me out of business.
Exactly.
In the downtown area, I need a building that has a vault in it,
yeah,
and so on and so forth. And I think ultimately they solved the problem by allowing him to obtain a piece of property that the city owned across the street.
Mm-hmm.
It was very intimidating.
What you're describing has happened thousands of times all across the country. The Institute for Justice, you can find them if you just go on Google. The Institute for Justice is the organization that is defending the New London, Connecticut homeowners. And one of their attorneys, I think it's Dana Berliner, but I'm not sure. But anyway, one of their attorneys has
written a book
yeah. that documents 10,000 some instances
right.
that the Institute for Justice says are abuses of eminent domain. And in the current budget and tax news, if you go to the Heartland website, www.heartland.org, you can click on the budget and tax news link and find Sam Staley's article. One of the things he mentions in there is that when you're forcing a business, a small business person out, he ought to be compensated for more than the simple value of the property. I mean, there are relocation costs. There are all kinds of costs
Absolutely.
Associated with running a business beyond the cost of the building and the land.
Right.
And Thank generally, very often, community says tough luck to that. They say, well, we have an appraiser who says the property is worth X, and that's what we're going
to
pay you.
That's a huge problem. Bob, we have to run. Bob, thanks for your call. I want to try to get one more person because I think she's a first-time caller. Rosemary, quickly.
Yes, this is Rosemary. Okay, I received a letter in the mail from Gary D.Y.D. in California. He wants to buy my, it says, making an offer on your land.
Mm-hmm.
Is this what you're talking about? Is this what they're trying to do?
No, it doesn't sound like it. Is this a private person?
Is it, no, he's from California. It says, recently, while looking through the county records, I noticed that you own property in King County. Oh,
let us know if government's involved, Rosemary, give us a call back, okay? Next week.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, Steve, thank you very much. And very interesting. Well, I was going to hit more topics, but this eminent domain issue is so hot that I'm kind of glad we really covered it in a little more detail.
Yeah, I think it's a big one, and I'm going to be real interested to see how the Supreme Court rules on this.
Yeah, so a lot of us are. Thank you very much, Steve.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right.